Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live and Internet Voices Radio. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm chatting with Dr. Herman Kagan about his new book, The Psychological Immune System, A New Look at Protection and Survival. This is a dynamic work. But before we dive into it, I would like to tell you a little bit about Dr. Kagan. Herman obtained his doctorate in clinical psychology from the University of Arizona. He has worked extensively in the field of mental health, including 6 years with the California Youth Authority, 25 years with the County of Ventura Mental Health Department, 13 years of which were as program director of the SEMI Mental Health Center Children's Program, and 18 years as coordinator of the Parents United Chapter in Ventura County. Herman also has specialized in child abuse, sexual abuse, and youth crime prevention. He was the former president of the Ventura Psychological Association and taught psychology classes at the University of California Santa Barbara Extension Division. He retired in 1994 and has been married for 48 years and lives in Ventura. Herman, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. This is a dynamic work that you've produced here. It might at first seem to the audience to be clinical and scientific, but you know, what I'd like to ask you to do at this point, Herman, is to tell the audience a little bit about the essence of your book.
Okay. Well, I try to make it so it isn't too scientific and confusing. I wrote it for my grandchildren.
Great.
And so I hope that when they get older, they maybe read it and learn something from it, and it would help them through this confusing world of ours, which is, it gets pretty confusing sometimes.
It is a confusing world we're living in, isn't it?
It is.
Confusing
so
and brutal.
That's true. So I was hoping I'd give them some principles, something that I learned. I mean, you know, I've had a long time in psychology, 30 years or so.
Uh-huh.
I've been a father, raised a couple of kids, and now I'm a grandfather. I figure with all that experience, I must have something I could teach them. So that's why I wrote the book.
Okay.
And the book is basically, it's a protective type system, psychological immune system. And it's based on the model of the biological immune system. It's protection. And it helps us protect, preserve, and enhance our survival.
Mm-hmm.
And it is comparable to the biological immune system, which also helps us protect, preserve, and enhance our survival. Now, both systems have a long chain of evolutionary strategies that have allowed life to survive and multiply. You know, life on Earth has been here for 3.5 billion years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't last 3.5 billion years. Unless you have something going for you. And what life has going for us is that it has built-in protective mechanisms. And that allows it to adjust to different types of environments and to changes in the environments. So it has to have some kind of built-in system of protection. Now, we have that built-in system of protection. One is the biological immune system. It protects us against a world teeming with microorganisms, parasites, bacteria, viruses. I mean, if we didn't have that, we'd be in bad trouble. Now, the psychological immune system also has evolved. It protects us against things that the biological immune system can't protect us against. So, diseases...
things that are less tangible, huh?
Well, diseases, for example, that the biological immune system don't do well with, can't handle. And so we get diseases, and so what happens, it triggers our thinking, our creativity, and we develop ways to handle these diseases. We also have, of course, floods, hurricanes, we also have disasters going on, and we have to have some way of learning how to handle them and protect us against. We have people that breaking into our house, we have people that steal our cars, so we have a lot going on that
people
we
people threatening
have to
us do. With terrorism. And
that's right, there's a lot of threats in the world. And so our system, we have evolved a system that is to protect us.
I'd like to I'm sorry. I'd like to ask a quick question here.
Yeah.
Does this include, you know, there's a lot in the news about the fact that we are creating our own destruction, ultimate mm-hmm. destruction, by the abuse that we are committing to our resources.
Yeah.
Ozone layer, water supplies,
right,
natural
right.
resources.
Yeah.
Are we, in these last couple of hundred years, are we systematically about to destroy what has taken over 3 billion years to sustain?
Well, yeah. Part of the problem with humans is that the system, the psychological immune system, protects three areas. And one area is our life and our physical well-being, which the biological immune system protects also.
Mm-hmm.
The second is our property and our possessions.
Mm-hmm.
The third is our sense of self and our identity. Now, the sense of self and identity came along. The biological immune system is millions of years old. The psychological immune system is probably thousands of years old. And it came as a result of the fact that we developed consciousness, we developed self-image, and so we have to protect that. And so the psychological immune system came along as a way to protect this identity of ours, the self-image of ours. Unfortunately, sometime, we have things to enhance our self-image and our identity and our property. And we look after ourselves in a way which is kind of on a selfish side, maybe. But we take in things and we possess things and we think of ourselves as special. And so we have group identity, too, which is part of our identity. And so sometimes we end up against ourselves being our worst enemy, because looking after ourselves, we don't look after other things, other people. Or looking after ourselves, we don't look after the environment. So what we need for ourselves, like creating property or possessing property or protecting property, our property, but other people's property we don't care that much about, unless they
belong. We don't
think
to, do we?
So we end up hurting other things while protecting ourselves. I mean, look at all the animal species that we've eliminated. So, yeah, so in a way, our self-image is a very positive thing, because it gives us this idea of being together with other people and having relationships with other people. And so they're people that we include in our group. But at the same time, we worry about protecting this group, and so we see other people as enemies, as trying to hurt us. And so we develop ways of trying to eliminate them. So we help ourselves. It's a system that is protective and enhances us, but at the same time, it could hurt other people. So it's a blessing and a curse.
And a curse at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now, okay, with respect to the psychological immune system,
yeah.
How does it fit into the idea of the mind-body connection?
Okay. Now, that's a good question. The mind-body connection, now most people, when they think of a mind-body connection, they're saying, can our thoughts, our visual imagery, positive attitudes, positive emotions, meditation, prayer, and being prayed about, does it have a significant effect on preventing, recovering from illness, physical disabilities, mental impairment, like autism, schizophrenia, Down syndrome, Alzheimer's? Now,
all of which are things that seem to be much more pronounced in today's environment than in times past.
Yeah, and so we want to know, can we have some kind of positive thing to be able to change these things? Can visual imagery, positive attitudes help us recovery? Now, the principles of the psychological immune system say the greatest and most effective connection between the mind and body comes from the fact that when our body is hurting, the mind gets going. That is, the body that's hurting triggers our brain power, our creativity, and planning. And our protective emotions, like apprehension, anxiety, and fear, make us aware of threats. For example, if polio vaccine, which our mind created because of the devastating consequences of disease,
mm-hmm.
is that more effective than positive thinking, visual imagery, meditation, and prayer? Is typhoid, typhus, diphtheria, and smallpox vaccines more effective than a positive attitude, meditation, prayer, belief system? Are x-rays, a cast, antibiotics, and pain medication more effective for a broken leg than positive thinking, meditation, being prayed about? My answer is yes. And so what I think the mind-body connection is, that when the body's hurting, the mind is triggered. That's what the psychological immune system says, that our emotions, our fear, our anxiety triggers all this creativity that we have. And so we've evolved medicine. Science and research has evolved. We could become experts in studying for years, technical know-how. And look at the most recent research attempting to deal with the body has been DNA analysis and gene studies. This is all because we want to protect ourselves.
Okay, and so the point you're making is that because the body has been in pain, so to speak,
yeah.
the mind has jumped into its creativity mode and created medical know-how,
yes.
technological know-how, advancements in all those arenas that you believe has had a more successful result, has had more successful results
yeah.
in us feeling better than our ability to meditate,
yeah,
pray,
you got
positive
it.
Imagery.
That's right. That's right. If I have a broken leg, I know where I'm going. I mean, I could sit down. You know, I my visual imagery could go on all day. You know, I knew a psychologist that used visual imagery, had cancer, and he was trying that. But, you know, in the end, he ended up, cancer killed him. You know, you could try a lot of things when we're afraid. We try all kind of things, but the biggest, best thing that we have going for us is our creativity and our mind and our ability to plan ahead and think. That's what the psychological immune system says anyway.
Okay, that's interesting. well, exactly what principles of this psychological immune system do you believe can be used in bringing up children in today's environment?
Okay, well, there are some. For example, there are six principles in the psychological immune system. Three apply to ourselves, and three apply to people that we love, care about. So we project these principles to people we care about and love. Now, the three principles that apply, one I told you before, we protect and preserve and enhance our life and our physical well-being. That's one principle. The other is our property and possessions. We protect, preserve, enhance them. And the third is protecting, preserving, and enhancing our identity and sense of self. Now, when bringing up kids, you got to know that they're going to worry about things that can hurt them. I mean, that's one of the principles that's going to go on with kids. And they have their own apprehensions and fears, anxieties from ghosts, monsters, from being small, getting lost. I mean, they're all things that kids get very afraid of, so parents should know that this is just built into them. My son, when he was 6 years old, for an example, he said to me, "Dad, I want to talk to you." And I thought I was doing a great job. I thought I was a good father. I said, "Sure, son, what's up?" He said, "Well, Dad," he says, "I was thinking of moving next door."
Oh, okay.
I said, "What?" I said, "His name is Ken. Ken, what do you mean you want to move next door?" He said, "Well, I just thinking of moving." I said, "Well, what brought that on?" He says, "Well, I don't know how to tell you this, Dad, but he said, you know, you're the smallest dad in the world. I said, what? I said, I don't, that really got me on a defensive. You know, I'm 5'6", so I didn't consider myself the smallest dad in the world. But he said, well, you're probably the smallest dad in the world. I said, so what does that have to do? He says, well, I was wondering, he said, if a burglar came through the window, could you do anything about it? I said, I don't know. Can I? I said, try the best I could. I said, but so what's that in the movie next door? He said, well, the guy next door, he said, he's a lot bigger. He was. The guy next door, Rod, he's about 6'2". You know, mm-hmm. So here's my son. He's thinking that moving next door is going to make him safer. So I thought, I'll tell you what. Now, I knew how it was going to end because, I mean, I wouldn't let him move next door. But I said, well, I said, I'll tell you what, Ken. I said, go next door and ask them if they're willing to take you in. I said, if they're willing to take you in, they, you know. He says, well, okay, I'll think about it. So he went to sleep the next day. He came back. He says, I thought about it. I think I'll stay. I said, great. I'm glad to have you. I said, but that's it. I didn't know where that came from.
Right.
But, I mean, these are the way kids' minds work. They, you know, right. They worry. So this is one of the principles. You got to know, as a parent, you can expect things to come up in their lives that, you know, they're going to be afraid of. You got to listen. You got to pay attention.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, another thing that I am really curious about is how does the psychological immune system explain this contradictory behavior or difference between human traits for helping and hurting people?
Yeah, well, that's another thing because it's designed as a protective system, and its first priority is to detect, recognize, identify threats. I mean, that's what a protective system does. You have to identify what threats are. The biological immune system identifies those bacteria, viruses that are harmful to the body.
Okay,
it's
so
got to detect them before it does anything.
So it's in the biological arena where of course, science and technology and advancements in medicine have come up, where the creative part of our brain has led to advancements in that arena.
Absolutely.
So I'm really, really dying to know what the parallel is in the psychological
environment. Well, we keep on looking for threats. We recognize, identify threats to our life, our property, our sense of self. So, now, part of the self-image that we comes from the groups we're bonded to, identify with. And these group members that interests similar to our own, being like ourselves, and so these members are considered self members. Now the biological immune system looks at self. I mean that's what it does. It looks at which cells belong to the body, self, and which do not belong to the body, non-self. We do the same thing on a psychological basis, which say which members belong to our group, self members. And which members don't belong, non-self members. Now, when we're constantly on the lookout for non-self members who pose a threat to us or our group, so we find acceptance and camaraderie with self members, and we become suspicious of non-self members and hostile if we feel threatened by them. Now, it doesn't take much. One or two incidents or actions interpreted as threatening or demeaning to make these non-self members into enemies. And what do? Well, we try to avoid them or destroy them.
Woohoo. So much
and
for,
if we
so
don't get them...
Flight, we avoid or destroy, huh?
And we figured if we don't get them, they're going to get us. It is like the law of destroy or be destroyed. You know, during the Second World War, I'll give you an example, all the Japanese living on the West Coast were considered potentially... So threatening.
Right.
And so what the government did, you know, they rounded up like 100,000 Japanese and put them in internment camps.
Mm-hmm.
They will suddenly be considered threatening members. Mm-hmm. And they're members, they're citizens of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we can get paranoid sometimes.
Oh, indeed.
Because we look for people that are not like us and are different. And so And self-defense is a universal principle. Every country recognizes self-defense. So we say, well, we got a right for self-defense, and the people we love are bonded to and identify with, well, yeah, we want to protect them. And on the other hand, it doesn't take long to know that our enemies also feel that self-defense is on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty much you have a lot of fighting going on. You know, the 20th century, believe it or not, was the bloodiest century of human existence. 20th century.
Ooh, I hate to hear that, but it doesn't surprise me, really. But I would have preferred thinking that that the Dark Ages might have been the bloodiest. But
I know. And you think by now we would have learned. But, you know, we are a lethal species.
We really are, aren't we?
We're lethal. And I think the psychological immune system talks to that because we're looking to protect ourselves. It's built into us.
Okay.
We can't help it. We're looking to protect ourselves.
Right. And Herman, we're getting close to running out of time here. And a question that is just burning in me is this: in your research and in your work, which really is a compilation of your life's work, isn't it? And
yeah.
Your life study.
Right.
You've identified this psychological immune system and have paralleled it to the biological immune system.
Right.
Have we gotten creative enough to come up with some ways to deal more effectively with the psychological defenses that rear their little ugly heads?
Yeah, see, the first thing that we have two different parts of it, just like the biological immune system. It has an innate or built-in part, mm-hmm. and it has a learned part or an acquired part. Now, the learned part, the built-in part, tries to directly kill whatever is bothering, you know, the
right.
non-self.
Right.
Now, but it learns from experience, has memory cells, and these memory cells remember what kind of enemy came before, and it tries to deal with them then later on in a more effective way. The vaccines that we use
mm-hmm.
are based on the memory cells.
Okay, and so hopefully what we have here is something that, you know, right now our world just seems fraught with violence.
I know.
And evidence of violence everywhere, and it's your psychological immune system and the reason for it does sound like it explains why that is so. And so what I'm personally hoping for is that somewhere in all this will be a way for people to begin to think about how to step up to the plate and stop being so violent.
Well, it's called learning from experience. And unfortunately, sometimes we just don't take what we learned and apply it.
Mm.
And, this is where the creative mind comes in. We learn, this is the learned part of it. We have a part of our brain, the frontal lobe,
mm-hmm.
which are supposed to, you know, be a guardian for the initial impulses that we have. The first part of our brain, the amygdala, when we see something and we get frightened, we're triggered, first thing we want to do is run like hell or get rid of it,
uh-huh.
attack it. But, you know, the other part of our brain, the frontal lobe, say, wait a minute, maybe it's not the best response to make. And so it catches us. The bad emotional, bad initial responses. You could see driving. Driving is an example that, you know, somebody cuts in front of you. The first thing that comes to your mind is, man, I want to bash them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get so angry. Somebody cuts in front of you, the nerve that they had. They threatened you, and who do they think they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing you want to do is do something and
hit back.
And some people, yeah, can't control that urge,
mm-hmm.
and you have road rage,
mm-hmm.
and the road rage ends up getting somebody killed. One of the mothers that I was seeing, her son was 19 years old and he was killed that way with road rage.
I know a lot of people have been,
and so it really got it really hit me home. And
hit
I said,
home.
Wow,
mm-hmm.
I said it's amazing that, you know, we have this ability to control our initial responses.
but we don't exercise.
But we've got to learn how. We got to practice.
Right.
And this is what we got to do, practice. It's like emergency people. They have to practice their trade.
The only way to get better at anything is to practice it.
You got
it. Only way.
That's right.
Herman, we are, believe it or not, we are just about out of time.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe how time has flown by. This is a fascinating subject. And I want to thank you for taking time to join us today. Would you tell the audience where they can find your book? And if you have a website, would you mention that as well?
Well, yeah. I actually have been using the website of my publisher.
Okay.
So the publisher's website is the one, if they want to get the book.
And that is?
And that is, in just a minute, I'll get it to them.
Well, in the meantime.
It's Author House.
Author House. Uh-huh.
.com.
Great.
/bookstore.
Bookstore.
So authorhouse.com/bookstore. Also, Amazon.com.
Great.
Carries my book, Barnes & Noble.
Great.
So
great.
All three areas. You can
wonderful. Use. Well, Herman, this book is very challenging, and I do want to issue a challenge out there for everyone listening to this to buy the book and do a little reading up on what maybe some of what might be behind all this violence that we're seeing everywhere, and what we can do to stem the tide of this situation here. I also want to encourage everyone out there to go to InsideScoopLive.com and ReaderViews.com and look over the reviews.
Okay.
Also,
great.
This internet radio segment will be posted to the author's page on InsideScoop Live. Now, ReaderViews and the author's websites will have links to this interview. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen and consider purchasing this book for your own library or as a gift. Herman, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, Gail, for having me.
And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.